Welcome to Series 2, Episode 7 of And Counterpoints. The seventh episode of our second series of Encounter Points. I'm Bill Schmidt.
And I'm Ken Hellenius.
Last week, Ken, we talked about how faith touches our senses and about salt and water and oil.
This week, we'll turn our attention to things that are a bit less tactile, Bill. Like I tell my nephew when he asks, "Can I see that, Uncle Ken?" I always have to respond, "Look with your eyes, not with your hands."
You know, Ken, they say that the eyes are the doorway to the soul.
Well then, why don't you show me what you've been talking about, Bill? Well, hey, Bill, how are you this fine evening?
All right, Ken, how are you doing?
Oh, it is a marvelous Thursday, or whatever day of the week it might be that we are releasing this.
Yes, yes, it's easy to lose track, isn't it?
It is,
indeed. Important thing is that it's cooled off a little bit.
Thank the Lord.
Really?
I recently was in the Pacific Northwest, where I moved here from.
Right.
And I don't know, I'm pretty sure that the game The Oregon Trail came out well after you were in grade school, but we knew for many years that the Pacific Northwest is beautiful and lovely and the temperature is kind and wonderful. Why did people stop in the Midwest is what I've never quite figured out. I mean, it's hot and humid here. It's just not no bueno.
Yeah. It's got its own charm.
Oh, no. There are lovely things here.
Yes.
Don't get me wrong, but the humidity is a bit oppressive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I prefer my humidity, the kind that falls from the sky and then it goes away.
You know, that's right. That's what should happen. Yes.
Yeah.
And gently without the storms.
Correct.
But so we are asking a lot, let's face it.
Nothing's perfect.
No, exactly.
You know, so, what can we say?
Well, let's grow where we're planted.
Oh, I like that. That's nice.
Fair enough. Thank you.
You know, this idea that we're not perfect and that things can always be better and that we can always complain about the way we got things, but still we're happy enough to stay.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
I guess that's all just human nature.
Exactly. Yep. God must have made us to have a little bit of impatience and, it can yield good fruit if we treat it well. If we accept God's creation in the form of weather,
that's right.
In the form of everything else,
kind of like we talked about last week, the idea that all creation is broken.
Yes,
it has not all yet been redeemed. It has not all yet come under the kingship of Christ.
That's right.
Which is why we even have to exercise our salt.
I loved that.
And then we bless it.
I didn't know
exactly
about exercising salt.
That was beautiful. You know, and I didn't even get to read the prayer of blessing of water. That deals with where actually under the old Roman ritual, the exercised and blessed salt was used to prepare holy water. So it wasn't just the priest making the sign of the hand sign of the cross over the water to make it holy water. While that works,
right.
In the full Roman ritual, there's an exorcism of the water, there's adding of the exercised and blessed salt. It's a full dilly.
Wow.
Oh yeah, dilly dilly, as they would say on the television adverts.
I guess. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, a double dilly.
But as it is, we miss out on that these days.
Yes. So, yeah. We need to take things seriously.
You can always ask your priest, you know, something that we didn't get to last week is this idea that exercised and blessed salt or even just blessed salt is a sacramental that you can ask your pastor, your priest to bless for you so that you too can use them in your life. Again, not as a superstition,
right,
but as a way to remind you, this is to bless your house, to drive away the demons that you know, you might be in a holy place.
Yes.
So these are things that we should not be afraid to ask for either.
No. And I love, there are some masses that I've been to where the priest has at the end of the mass has said, please now take out any rosary beads or other items from your pockets that you would like blessed to take home with you, and I will now bless those items.
Yeah.
And I think that is so cool, especially just to think in terms of sacramentals, one of their functions being almost as a vessel by which we actually make mobile and take homeable. That's not a word.
No, but it should be.
It should be, at least on a McDonald's drive-through commercial or something.
Take homeable.
Right?
Yeah.
It makes that blessing, which so many people think of as just a moment in time and a very stationary thing and something consigned just to the priest at Mass or whatever. It takes that blessing, and if we really associate in our own lives and our everyday activities the sacramental we're carrying with that blessing that was bestowed, boy, it's like having, the blessing's there 24/7, just like the sacramental is 24/7.
That's right.
Of course, in a sense, it would be anyway. God is always blessing us. But it's a really cool way of, again, to sum up our title of our series, it's incarnational. It's yes. Making things tangible, yep. Real. Yeah.
Huh, absolutely. And it's not just the things that we carry with us, but it's also the things that we cast our eye upon.
Yes.
And that kind of leads us into tonight's conversation.
Ah, excellent.
Because
yes.
That which we see, even in our churches, all of it is meant to bring us back to a mindfulness that we are created in the image and likeness of God, that we are redeemed by Christ Jesus, who became flesh for our sake,
yeah,
to redeem us from our sin. And we are surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, the saints. And
exactly.
All of these things are shown to us by, well, I wrote it down as, we are a church of decoration and remembrance.
Very true.
And so there are very practical reasons why our churches are filled with stained glass and with statues and with icons and with crucifixes.
Yes.
All of this is because we haven't always been a literate people.
That's right.
But we've always been a visual people.
Exactly.
We've always been a people who can see and imitate.
Right.
And that's what this entire conversation tonight is about. Exactly. These things like statues, icons, crucifixes, stained right. glass, all of these things, gargoyles, all of these things
yes.
That are signs and reminders and invitations to imitate.
Well said. Yeah. It's catechesis come alive or come into the five human senses.
Yes.
Really. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, it's beautiful, and what genius has been shown. And you can really tell that the Lord has blessed so many artists
yes.
and so many people through all sorts of skills to use beautiful decorations and beautiful crosses and icons and all as means of catechesis.
Yeah, well, I think, of course, of Michelangelo's Pietà,
oh,
perhaps
goodness.
One of the most beautiful and well-known statues, sculptures in the history
yes.
of humankind. There at St. Peter's Basilica, behind glass now because of some madman in the 70s smashed it. But it's been restored. I mean, that is itself, a sign of the love of a mother.
Yeah.
It's the beauty of Our Lady. It's the death of God,
right.
The death of Christ Jesus, who is our Lord and God.
Right.
And yet created out of such tenderness and devotion. I mean, you look at it
yeah.
and it is a prayer in stone.
Yeah.
And what's hilarious to me is having been to Rome a few times and seen the Pietà and then going to another church in Rome, Santa Maria Sopra Minerva, where Blessed Fra Angelico is buried.
Wow.
Of course, the great 13th century, 14th century painter. But there is what they call in that church a minor Michelangelo sculpture.
Huh.
And it's called minor because they're like, well, it's not as good as the Pietà, but it's Christ carrying the cross. And it's still amazing,
whoa.
But it's just a minor one,
kind
of thing. And
wow.
I find this hilarious because itself, it is, again, a reminder of Christ, of the reality of Jesus Christ carrying the cross. It's a prayer in stone, just like the Pietà, just
right.
like any other number of sculptures, St. Therese in Ecstasy, by Bernini, anything.
Yeah.
These are beautiful signs that remind us of our faith.
Yes, yeah. But now I'm almost embarrassed to make the connection that I was going to make after we're talking about this exactly on target use of beauty in the form of statues. I must admit that one of the first thoughts I had when we talked about using statues as one of our examples of incarnational piety and just bringing blessings to our homes, etc. I thought of the story that my wife likes to tell about when she was a kid. And this was by no means a Michelangelo piece of art. It was the family's little statue of the infant of Prague.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, just a glorious statue and a glorious image. The infant of Prague is seen dressed in magnificent robes with a glorious crown, but mostly with you know, different kinds of robes, and I think
typically wife, corresponding with like the liturgical season.
I was going to say,
feast.
I think my wife said that they did change over time. And
sure.
Again, isn't that a beautiful form of attentiveness and catechesis
yes.
at home?
Right.
Proactively
ooh,
created
by – ooh, it's time
by,
to put on the green one.
I know, right. Yeah. And I will admit that while that's exactly a good catechesis, my wife admits to the fact that she and her sisters – were not above at a certain young age. Were not above taking. Yeah, they. Yes, the infant of Prague provided fine garbs that, alas, could be used not only to clothe the infant of Prague,
the sweet baby Jesus.
Yes, but on occasion, apparently. Their Barbie dolls benefited too
yeah.
from these garbs.
Yeah,
but what it's it,
he's
no
not
way
using
to,
them.
You know exactly.
I mean, it's not. We're in ordinary time, so he doesn't need the purple one.
There you go. Right. Exactly. Exactly. And you know, it was a kind of way of realizing that. Ooh, you know, there are different colors used in the church and
sure.
all of that. Although maybe that's not what they were thinking at that precise moment that they
not
put
in that,
that
moment,
on,
right?
But what a nice use of the domestic church. What a nice use of a sacramental. I thought.
Well. Although, you know, I mean, I look at it. I mean, this is a memory she has here. You know, she's – that's been maybe 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, when she was but a wee child.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's this idea, though, that, you know, we kids play Mass with Necco wafers
oh,
and grape juice, you know, in the Dixie cups and,
yes.
And whatever it may be,
yes.
you know, it's this idea of we are bringing these things that we see in our churches
right.
home – to remind us here where we live day in and day out.
That's
so
right.
that we have here, you know, there's a hallway in our house here that goes to the guest room that has a photo of Pope St. John Paul II. And it
right.
has a beautiful cross stitch of Blessed Paul VI that we got at a secondhand store.
Uh-huh.
Somebody had done this from a postcard and they had – somebody in Sweden had done this cross stitch, which looks exactly like the postcard. This was – and the person made careful to write on the back that they weren't even Catholic, but that they thought this was such a joyful photo postcard that they had received that they turned it into a cross stitch. Well, of course, now Paul VI is going to be a saint this fall. I get to go to his canonization
wow,
in October
great.
In Rome. And there in our hallway, we have an image of Pope St. John Paul II, whom I had the pleasure to meet. We have an image of Pope St. Paul VI there, you know, who was the Pope when I was born. So, I mean, it's these things that connect us with, again, the great cloud of witnesses by
exactly.
which we are surrounded.
Right.
Crucifixes in rooms. And of course, as I look around here in the studio, I know I have plenty of icons. There's one of Dominic over here, and there's, of course, there's the relic of John Paul II here, you know, and things like that. I don't know that I have a crucifix hanging in this room, and now I'm really embarrassed. I'm
going to
fix that right after the show, that's for sure. But yeah, these things that, again, remind us and recall us to our faith.
That's right. And don't you have an icon of St. Francis of Assisi?
We have an icon of St. Francis of Assisi.
Yes.
We have... several Last Suppers,
right?
Depictions of the Last Supper, including some paint-by-numbers Last Suppers.
And, is that right?
And we have photos from when I got to meet Pope St. John Paul II. So, I mean, yeah, there are there's a whole hallway of saints.
That is marvelous.
You know, in our house.
That is marvelous. And I did just want to mention icons because. It's something that's part of a course that I've been able to attend a few classes taught by John Cavadini at Notre Dame, And he loves icons and has really helped me to appreciate the value of them. And ironically or not so ironically, one of the tools that he gave us to learn more about icons is a book meant for kids. It's written for children to help them better understand icons. And I just the book is called Pictures of God. Mm. And just the opening page is has a very simple statement that I think not only would help the young readers, but all of us. It struck me. It simply says, icons, like all beautiful things, reveal God to us. They are quieter than most of the art we're used to, which screams, look at me, look at me. Icons whisper, look at God, look at God. Hmm. Isn't that a great way to introduce the idea of icons? Not to dismiss or downplay the role of the most glorious statues, because they're so beautiful that they naturally uplift your heart and mind to God. But we're elsewhere in the world of art, we are subjected to pieces of art and decorations that, say, look at me, and forget about God. So it's so wonderful to have these statues and sculptures and icons and things like that. The ultimate decoration, you might say, it's more of a it's our go-to image for the church, because it represents really the self-sacrificing love that created the church and is the church, namely the crucifix. So that's why when we talk about decorations in church or great art that lifts the mind and heart to God, I think of the crucifix. And I'm so glad that we have these wonderful, wonderful crucifixes that sometimes are put down for having too much of the pre-story, as some people might say. It's the blood and gore of the death of our Lord.
Sure, yeah.
Through the corpus being there on the crucifix. And
this is distinctively Catholic, right?
It is distinctively
We're the only
Catholic.
Ones that have, with our Orthodox brothers and sisters, of course.
Right.
But yeah, we have the body on the cross.
Yeah.
And it's most always the dead Christ.
Yes.
He is expired. Longinus has pierced his body with a sword.
Yeah.
But yes, it is bloody. It is incarnational.
Yeah.
It is a reflection of the reality.
Right.
It's not the wood of the cross that saves us. It's Christ on the cross that saves us.
Yes. The resurrection is an inseparable part of the
story. Without the resurrection, this is pointless.
Exactly.
But he has to be there in order to be resurrected.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's where we see the incredible love embodied, literally.
Embodied.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
And that's what that's that self-giving, self-donating love that really creates the church, creates the body of Christ throughout history and eternity, and that we can really learn from. So the hail to the idea of the crucifix as also a beautiful decoration. What was the other word that we wanted to use instead of decoration? It's so much more. It's so much more than a decoration. But it is an image that's central to our faith.
Well, and it comes back to that quotation that I had last week from the blog Mama Needs Coffee, which again is such a great title for a blog. As you know, she pointed out, I want to read it again because it was so good. The truth is, though, that we are still an incarnate people made from dust and atoms and flesh, both weak and redeemed by the one whose flesh was pierced for us. When Jesus bent in the dirt at the feet of the deaf and mute man, he spat into dust and mixed mud in his palm, smearing the most base and ordinary elements into a miracle-working paste that was activated not by superstition or any kind of inherent qualities the dirt possessed, but by the nuclear reaction between his grace and the deaf man's faith.
Yeah.
The crucifix is only meaningful to us because we know the story. We also know how it ends.
Yes, That's
and
right.
It's not that.
That's
it's
right.
not just that. So if you walk in and you don't know anything of Christianity, you're going to walk into a Catholic church and be like, these people are obsessed with blood and gore.
Yeah. Yes.
But if you listen to the gospel proclaimed,
right,
you will hear this is not the end.
That's right.
We have to endure this to get to the end.
Right.
And the end is the Lamb of God who was slain.
No, exactly.
And yet who has redeemed from every nation.
Yes.
The great countless number of people dressed in white whose robes have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. This is our story. This is what we're building towards.
Exactly.
And we need the incarnation. We are saved through it. And the very scandal of the incarnation is what caused Satan and his angels to rebel. The very thought
That's
that
right.
God would become man
yeah.
is what redeems us.
Yes.
And that was part of the plan, even though it makes no sense to us, but it doesn't have to.
That's right.
We just have to have faith and rejoice that it did happen and that we are redeemed.
Amen. Amen. And again, the value of sacramentals in helping us remember that story and in telling that story, not to be discounted at all and to be very grateful for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And of course, in along the lines of more decorations, it is, I think we're back to a period in church architecture now where the beauty of the appropriate decoration is indeed welcomed into church architecture as not something that distracts, but as something that really does uplift.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be very simple, just as you say, the Lord used very simple materials to make and do beautiful things. But we should celebrate and take better note of what is decorating our churches and what is decorating our homes.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, because that really does uplift the mind and heart to God.
Yes.
And they can be full of meaning. As we said in previous episodes, they can also be vehicles of blessing. If we had those decorations or items blessed by a priest, for instance, that's a 24/7 presence of that blessing. If we keep recalling it, keep receiving it, keep making its presence part of our appreciation of the item itself.
Absolutely. Well, Bill, I don't know what else to say.
Just amen, but
amen.
Thank God. Yeah.
That, yes,
yeah,
indeed.
That, it, with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving.
And I'm excited that in the show notes you're going to find a way to include the image of the Infant of Prague in all of his decorated glory.
I'm going to work on that. Yes.
Nice.
Probably no pictures were taken of the Barbie incidents.
Good.
So I will
reserve those for the imagination.
Exactly right.
We are also a people of imagination.
Exactly right. Thanks to our sacramentals partner.
Well, we'll see you next week. Pick up the conversation with yet another delightful reflection.
Great. Yeah, thank you very much, Ken. Take
see
care.
Ya.
Thank you for joining us for our conversation. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website, encounterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. We hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.